The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
America, ladies and gentlemen, is under attack, and not from our usual enemies.
Wilson, last night, it's a little bit out of context, I'll admit, but he's talking about what Joe Biden had to say in his speech, and how that, in Biden's view, America is under attack from MAGA Republicans. So, in any event, the language, as you know from our book, couldn't come out at a better time. America is under attack, and Tucker, later on in his show, he took on a more serious and sobering tone as the show unfolded. So we'll have another clip from him, and of course, quite a lot from Joe Biden in this angry and divisive speech. Perhaps one of the most divisive speeches by a political leader in American history. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. We're broadcasting to you this time from our beautiful studio here at Edstone. This is in the Midlands of the UK, right a little ways down the road from Birmingham and about an hour and a half or so north of London. This is where our sister campus is. Currently, we have 12 students who are taking their classes online at Edstone, and also doing a lot to help support the work over in this region. So it's great to be back where I lived with my family for 6 years. It's hard to believe we've been back in Edmond now for over a year and a half, but this was certainly a big part of my life and a big part of our family's living, just because the kids were going right through their teen years here at Edstone. So as I say, it's great to be back and to see some familiar faces. So what are we to make of this most divisive and vicious, really a vicious speech? This is not the kind of speech that you give Joe Biden's last night in Philadelphia outside of Constitution Hall. It's not the kind of speech that you give just before midterm elections in hopes that you'll get more votes. This was a declaration of war. That's what this was. I think 12 times he mentions over and again, Trump and MAGA Republicans, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. Tucker was mocking it there at the start of his show, but by the end of it, even Tucker admitted, this is a dangerous turn for the United States of America. What a dangerous turn this is. And then even the backdrop. You look at, I went back and watched the video of where they set up this platform and how that before he comes out there, Joe Biden, the fake president with his wife, and then his wife exited stage right. But before that happened, it looked pretty normal. It was just a brick facade. And then the two Marines come out and then they turn on the lights that give it this red, this blood red glow, all of this blood red mixture with black. He really and truly did look like a villain in some kind of a Hollywood horror movie. Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse, he said, every national address by a president has a massive advance team checking every detail of a venue before broadcast. He says the optics they put together for Biden's Battle for the Soul of a Nation speech tonight was just plain creepy and weird. I mean, think about it. What does this imagery present when discussing the theme of battling for the soul of the nation? He said it looks straight up evil. It just looked evil. I was telling my sister earlier today that it's as if Satan has just thrown away the mask that presents him as an angel of light. Now the gloves are off. Now they're hoping, they're itching for the conservatives to fight. It's a call to arms. Listen to the words. Listen to what he's saying and then just believe it. And try to imagine a politician who's just out there trying to win votes. Try to imagine a politician saying anything like this. Listen to this speech from last night. This is, let me see, I think I got a page ahead here. Here we go. This is clip two.
But as I stand here tonight, equality and democracy are under assault. We do ourselves no favor to pretend otherwise. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people.
That's a montage of some of his statements from last night. Someone on Twitter said, just try listening to that again or read through the transcript and replace MAGA Republicans with the term Jew or black or white or any ethnic group, and you'll see just how angry and how divisive the speech is. And really, you'll see just how much hatred there is. This was hate speech last night. When you talk about the so-called MAGA Republicans, that's like 74, 75 million Americans, and it's a movement that's no doubt grown larger because of what's happening in the United States over the past 18 months. You're talking about more than half of the country. So this is the last show of desperation, angry desperation on the part of Barack Obama and his supporters. They're now in the minority. They know they're not going to be able to win a free and fair election. So this is like another January 6th. They want the other side to assemble together. They want to incite some kind of violence so that they can then lower the boom on the opposition. This is the greatest threat facing the United States. They've said so over and over again. Listen again to Joe Biden from last night, clip three.
They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country.
See, they pose a threat. Now, all of these deep state, if you didn't think the deep state existed, well, look at that scene last night in Philadelphia. And think again, like Sundance pointed out, the optics, everything that, and I heard from another source that Joe Biden just worked for days on this speech. And so he had all of that. He had the fists were pumping. They must have worked on the background just as much. It had to be, this is a prime time address. This is in the tradition of presidents of the U.S. past coming and saying, look, this is what we need to do to come together as a nation, or we're sending troops overseas, so we need to be unified. Quite unlike any of those other addresses by previous presidents, here comes a president in prime time. Now, a lot of stations didn't run the live feed, which is at least refreshing to hear them not just jump on board with it, but the talking heads, I mean, the ones that worship Joe Obama, the ones that worship, that swoon before Barack Obama, they said everything that you would expect following this speech. We'll get to that in just a minute. But to reserve a prime time address, he's rarely, if ever, I don't know if he's ever done that, but he reserves the prime time address for this? To declare war against Republicans? To declare war against not just Donald Trump, but all of Donald Trump's supporters as well. Listen again to bits from last night, clip four.
MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. History tells us the blind loyalty to a single leader and a willingness to engage in political violence is fatal to democracy.
And this is exactly what Barack Obama is calling for, just blind loyalty. And if you don't support him, if you don't support his movement, then you represent a danger to American society. You're an extremist. That speech last night was the speech of a demagogue. It was the speech a dictator would give You try replacing the words MAGA Republican with Jew or black or white or whatever, that would be an interesting exercise, an illuminating one at that. But try putting that speech or handing that speech to a dictator somewhere else in the world, and it would suit them perfectly as they go after their political opposition. That's the enemy. Donald Trump, he said on Truth Social, if you look at the words and meaning of the awkward and angry Biden speech tonight, he threatened America. He threatened America, including with the possible use of military force. It was just a couple of days ago when he said, hey, Americans can't just cry out Second Amendment to hold on to their guns or their automatic weapons, because if they ever did this to, as the Constitution says, as the Bill of Rights says, to make protect them from the government, well, how are you going to protect yourself from an F-15, he said, which some took as a veiled threat. Now here he is, and Donald Trump has it right again. He's threatening America. That's what this was last night. I think Stephen Miller analyzed it best when he said this, clip 16.
President Biden tonight gave the speech of a dictator in the style of a dictator, in the visual of a dictator, using the words of a dictator. This was his enemies of the state speech. And like every other radical Marxist tyrant, he accused his opponents of being fascist while he engages in repressive authoritarian behavior.
He's exactly right. He's out there calling his opponents, his political opponents, fascists, and yet look at what he engages in. Of course, he's being directed by Barack Obama, as we've said so many times before, and as is pointed out in this book, America Under Attack. You can go to our website, thetrumpet.com, to order your copy today. They've made it in from the printer just over the last couple of weeks. But switching back for a moment to Joe Biden from last night, this is clip 10.
That's why respected conservatives like Federal Circuit Court Judge Michael Luding has called Trump and the extreme MAGA Republicans, quote, a clear and present danger to our democracy. But while the threat to American democracy is real, I want to say as clearly as we can, we are not powerless in the face of these threats. We are not bystanders in this ongoing attack on democracy.
Yeah, they've got the F-15s. They've got the IRS purchasing all the ammunition. There he is, threatening America. Just like Donald Trump said, threatening Americans. We're not powerless in the face of these threats, says Joe Obama. We've got the power to fight against this greatest threat facing the United States. The White House spokesperson, the French gal, she had this to say earlier this week as well, clip 12.
The president has been clear as he can be on that particular piece when we talk about a democracy, when we talk about our freedoms. The way that he sees is the MAGA Republicans are the most energized part of the Republican Party. This is an extreme threat to our democracy, to our freedom, to our rights.
Extreme threat. If you support MAGA, think about just that term, make America great again. If you support that, you're an extremist. If you don't come along to our side, then you're the enemy. You can see that they're setting the stage, aren't they, for the indictment. If Donald Trump's leading the movement, well, of course, he's got to be put in prison. He's got to be put in jail. For what crime? Well, we can't really find any evidence of crime, so we'll just call it obstruction. There was a revelation earlier this morning that as well as the documents, that they ransacked the place, they took documents, and they even took some of the clothing. These FBI agents, they're just trying to uphold law and order by ransacking Mar-a-Lago. They're setting the stage, aren't they, for the indictment? They're setting the stage for civil war. It's what they want. Fundamental transformation. Listen to this statement from the press secretary as well earlier this week, clip 11.
And again, we see majority of Americans who disagree. And so when you are not with where majority of Americans are, then, you know, that is extreme. That is an extreme way of thinking.
Okay, first of all, they're not even in the majority, but let's just play along. She thinks they're in the majority and says, if you can believe it, if you're not with us, if you're not with our position, then you're an extremist. You're an extremist. It's our way or the highway. I mean, you've either got to be with us or we're coming after you. And they've proven that's what they'll do. They have proven this. This is a picture of a presidency that's collapsing. They know they don't have popular support. And so many of, you think about so many of the issues that they champion, like transgender rights. Do you think there's 51% of Americans that are on board with that? Let's talk about the majority for a moment. They're living in a fantasy world. They think they have widespread popular support, but looking at the way they deliver this speech like this anyway, looking at the way they're just basically throwing caution to the wind, saying, now it's time to take the gloves off. They know deep down they don't have a majority of support. So we know, again, it's important for us to see these events through the lens of Bible prophecy. And we know that this is building toward violence. It's building toward civil war. It's just terrifying. It's frightening. If you didn't know the truth, I mean, you do feel for Americans. As I was telling a few of our students over here, I mean, the people of Ephraim and Manasseh, to see these nations, to see the once great empire, to see the once great superpower descending into this civil war, anarchy. These are dangerous times, just like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to Tucker Carlson. I think this was an earlier broadcast where he talked about the Biden people calling half of American or half of Americans fascists. This is clip 15.
Fascists. That's what the other side is, says Joe Biden. An American president comparing tens of millions of his own people to the moral monsters we shot and bombed and later hung from the gallows in World War II. The children and grandchildren of Americans who died fighting the Nazis are now themselves Nazis, says Joe Biden, because they vote Republican.
They've made it known that the other side is the enemy. And just look at what some of the smaller skirmishes have led to, whether it's the Whitmer kidnapping plot or the January 6th protest. All of the, as many as 100 FBI agents in that protest. That's covered in this book, by the way. There was a good reminder in chapter 7, the stolen presidency, the stolen election, and then the fake insurrection. That's chapter 7 of America Under Attack. And I was reminded as I was reading a part of that yesterday on the flight over here that there's this New York Times, Project Veritas. Remember the revelation from a while back, months ago, where this New York Times journalist basically admitted that, yeah, all these journalists that said the January 6th protest was dangerous or they feared for their lives, nobody thinks that way. Nobody. They're just lying. He admitted it. It's just a narrative. And here comes the fake president last night with all these references. Besides the MAGA Republicans, there's the, of course, the three or four obligatory references to January 6th. Yeah, the so-called insurrection. It's their proof. It's their only proof that it's a violent opposition that they face. And it's a complete hoax. It's made up. It never did happen. It was incited by FBI agents. No police officers were gunned down. Nobody used a gun that day, except for that Capitol Hill police officer who shot and murdered Ashley Babbitt. You're not going to hear about that from the talking heads. Joe Biden's not going to mention Ashley Babbitt by name because she's a Trump supporter. She deserved to die. So there's your just a small sample size of what they want. Because look, they control the White House. They control Congress. They control the deep state, the Department of Justice, the IRS, the FBI, all of it. And you look at, I'll come to Tucker Carlson's bit a little bit later, where he said that this was not so much a campaign speech as it was a declaration of the official position of the government and all of the deep state bureaucrats. That said, the main networks decided not to carry this broadcast live. I think it was just CNN and MSNBC that chose to do that. This is from the New York Post. President Biden repeatedly slammed Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans in an overtly political primetime address. The White House billed as the battle for the soul of the nation. A speech ignored by all major TV networks and carried by just two cable news channels. Goes on and talks about some of the protesters not far from the platform last night that were screaming obscenities at this fake president who says that he got 81 million votes. He had quite a lot to say about stealing elections as well. Seems to be very insecure in his most impressive victory from a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. 81 million votes. But it really does get under his skin. These people, these studies, these proofs, this video evidence, all of these affidavits saying they cheated. He's illegitimate. Of course he is. Says the speech was carried live by few TV outlets. Only CNN and MSNBC ran the remarks live, plus C-SPAN, which generally broadcasts official events. ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, PBS, Fox News, and Fox Business did not air it. Now, that said, all the talking heads just thought this was a powerful speech, a unifying. Some of them thought it was a unifying speech. Jennifer Rubin, she's supposed to be the token conservative over at the Washington Post. She tweeted this: Biden's Philadelphia speech met the moment. Mass arrest should come next. Now, she later deleted that tweet. But think about that mindset. Great speech. Now we need to start arresting people. Mass arrest would be appropriate. Eugene Robinson at MSNBC, he said Biden's speech was an urgent wartime address. That's the way they see it on the left. I'm not trying to sound provocative or hyperbolic myself. It is a declaration of war. That's the way the left sees it. SE Cup, I forget which network she's on, but she said, hey, he's right. He's right to call them fascists. He's right to single out the MAGA Republicans. They want war. They've declared war. They're just hoping for the other side to pull the trigger first so that they can unleash the power of the FBI, the DOJ, the F-15s, whatever else they can put together. They control all of it. Obama, he purged those agencies of patriots, and they've been thoroughly weaponized, as we've seen from so many events, disturbing events in recent years. Listen to this montage here, these media zombies just going on and on about how that this was Biden's best speech ever. This is clip 14.
He'll take some heat for calling, you know, members of a political party semi-fascists, but he isn't wrong, and I don't think he should back down from diagnosing problems and calling threats what they are.
Something else that really stuck out to me is that he almost seemed to sort of be reclaiming patriotism. But what was more pro-USA than this speech? And I think this is exactly what Democratic voters wanted to hear. It was a very, very patriotic speech, and I think that is a lot of what Democratic voters across the country, they want to be patriotic too.
Some of the people that said this was his best speech ever, and he needed to tell the truth.
The speech last night to me sounded like a president delivering a wartime address. And indeed, Joe Biden sees this as he said, a battle for the soul of the country. It's a battle for the preservation of our democracy.
There's your talking heads, just an extension of Barack Obama's government. Spokespeople for the Obama administration, just like the French lady. They're the same. Could you imagine being so deranged in your thinking that you could hear a speech or listen to a speech like last night in Philadelphia and say, I think that was really patriotic. Yeah, I think that was pro-USA. to single out half the country and say, we're coming after you, we got the power to do it. You represent an existential threat to the United States. We're going to come get you, just like we did those January 6th protesters. You're the enemy. You're the extremist because you don't agree with us. So we're singling you out. Even if it's half the country. Where is this leading? Well, if you want to know, request America Under Attack. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Tonight's address in Philadelphia is not being categorized as a campaign event ahead of the midterm elections, which is what it looks like. No. Instead, this speech has the full sponsorship of the White House. In other words, what Joe Biden is saying right now is the official position of the entire executive branch of the U.S. government. That would include the Justice Department, the various intel agencies, and the world's most powerful standing military. Think about that. Does it make you nervous? You don't have to be a Trump voter to see a speech like this as a turning point in American history.
Pretty big, significant turning point, according to Tucker. I think, though, the interesting thing there is before he said that statement, he said, look, this is the official policy or this is the agenda of the executive branch. This represents the thinking. It's not a political speech. The way they see it, and of course, it's far, far to the left as far as its politics go. And by the way, to have two Marine guards standing behind you, there's a Defense Department directive that says, you know, the military of the United States is not to participate in political activities. Here are these two military men standing behind the fake president who's giving this speech, basically declaring half of America the enemy. And he's got his military guard right there with him. Together with the whole scene, the blood red scene in the background, the French lady that speaks for the White House, she told reporters earlier in the day that the speech Biden would be giving would not be a political speech. Yeah, this is not a political speech. This is the agenda. And as you've heard from her already today, she waxes eloquent as well about the threat that MAGA Republicans represent in America Under Attack. Again, just to plug this book over and again, my father says here, this nation is committing suicide at the hands of certain powerful people in government and in society. They are actively, intentionally sabotaging this special nation from inside, from the inside. I mean, this is the attack. America is under attack. It's coming from those people. It's coming from these people that you're hearing from. Joe Biden, his press secretary. Obama's doing a pretty good job staying behind the scenes. But it's his people who wrote this speech. It's his people who prepared the presentation there in Philadelphia, of all places, the cradle of our nation, where it all began for the United States, wrapping themselves up in the Constitution, democracy. He used the word democracy 31 times. America is a democratic republic. But they see it as a democracy, even though they have to cheat to get a democratic majority. They have to cheat to do it. They did it in 2020. And they're probably going to do everything they can to cheat their way to victory again, unless they can get the war first. That's what they'd prefer, because then they can lower the boom on the opposition. They can suspend the election if they have to. If there's something extreme, I mean, don't put it past them. Look at what they did with COVID. Look at how they used this man-made virus to send 100 million mail-in ballots all over the place, so that they could steal the election in 2020. These are acts, though, of desperation. They have been exposed. You know, I was thinking earlier today as well, as far as Donald Trump leaving the White House in January of last year, you think about how much his presidency, the 4 years he was in the White House, how much lawlessness and criminal activity he exposed during his 4 years, and yet, even still, while he was there, the Mueller investigation going on for 2 and 3 years to cover up the lawlessness of the Obama people. And then just the way the deep state, the military, the DOJ, all of them worked against Donald Trump, even when he was president. But just think about how much lawlessness, how much corruption and evil has been exposed even since Donald Trump left the White House, just in the last year and a half. I mean, even leaving aside the many problems facing the United States, whether it's the border, the economy, cost for fuel, or whatever, but just look at the level of corruption that's been exposed. It continues to be exposed. Look at the way the DOJ and the FBI are operating following the so-called insurrection or with the raid of Mar-a-Lago. Look at the way they've tried to justify these actions. They're being exposed. They were exposed a little bit more last night. I think there's quite a few Americans, if you're in the middle of the road politically, who had to have looked at that speech and thought, what is going on? What has happened to the United States? What has happened to the White House, the presidency? The nation's being attacked from within by its own leaders. That's the message of America under attack. PJ Media says here, Joe Biden harangued and threatened the nation for 20 minutes on national TV in a speech that will be remembered for its vicious rhetoric and blood-red lighting. In the highly partisan speech, again, with two Marine guards standing just behind in the shadows, in a highly partisan speech, Biden railed against MAGA America like there was no tomorrow. He used the words MAGA Republicans 11 times in the first 12 minutes. It's a 20-minute speech. In the first 12 minutes? It says here, but that's all Joe Biden's got right now. By nearly every metric, America is worse off than it was during the Trump years. So, Biden can only resort to fear-mongering and demagoguery. For most politicians, Independence Hall in Philadelphia would be a perfect backdrop for a patriotic speech. That's right. For most, it would be a perfect backdrop for something that would actually bring the country together. For all of the deranged commentary on the bad orange man, did Donald Trump ever give anything even remotely close to a speech like this? He certainly had his confrontations. I played that clip for you the other day where he told that reporter to his face, you're a criminal. You're a criminal too because you won't report on the Hunter Biden laptop. He was right about that. He told the truth about the laptop. Nobody else would because they wanted to cover up sin. They wanted to cover up evil. They wanted to cover up lawlessness. They wanted to cover up the fact that the Biden crime family is bought and paid for by the CCP. They can't even report that. They don't have enough patriotism running through their veins to even report the truth about a family, a high-powered family that's compromised. What does that say about the level of deception? My father makes this point in the book as well, that the reason more people, and a lot of people are beginning to wake up and see what's happening, but the reason more don't is because Satan's powers of deception are so intense, he's confined to this earth. He's confined to this earth. He's deceived the whole world. I won't go through all the scriptures that you can read about in this book, but that's the truth of the Bible. Even CNN, even a talking head on CNN said that Biden was wrong to put the Marines behind him. Mark Thiessen at the Washington Post. What this means is that Biden is the only president in more than four decades to ask the major news networks to preempt their primetime programming just weeks before an election and broadcast a campaign speech whose stated purpose is to attack the opposition party. Why is it over and again we're just seeing things that have never, ever happened in America's history? Nothing like this. For all of the contentious debate in years past, in America's history, fierce debate between two sides, two parties. Basically, what he came out and announced last night is we want a one-party state. We don't want a second party because the other party's full of those MAGA Republicans. They've got to be destroyed or at least deprogrammed, as Katie Couric said. We want one party. We are in the majority, and if you don't agree with us, you're an extremist. This is the way they think. This is Antiochus. This is Barack Obama. This is communism through and through. This is authoritarianism. It's happening. Just as Herbert Armstrong said so many decades ago, well over a half century ago, this is the way they operate. Here are their goals in the end, to tear down the system, to destroy, it's even worse than a fundamental transformation. It's fundamental destruction through and through. As I said, he spent a fair bit of time talking about the stolen election, not the one he stole, but the ones that he thinks Republicans are stealing. They're the extremists after all. So they steal, but those Democrat machines in Detroit and Atlanta and Phoenix, Philadelphia, they're just squeaky clean. No nefarious activity going on there. Listen to this from last night, clip 5.
They refuse to accept the results of a free election. And they're working right now, as I speak, in state after state, to give power to decide elections in America to partisans and cronies, empowering election deniers to undermine democracy itself. They tried everything last time to nullify the votes of 81 million people. This time, they're determined to succeed in thwarting the will of the people. We can't let the integrity of our elections be undermined, for that is a path to chaos.
Pretty rich statement there. We can't let the integrity of our elections be undermined. There's, again, a great reminder. And most of the material in this book, in the bits and pieces of it all, we've covered on this program over the course of the last couple of years. But it's just great to have it preserved in story flow instead of on bits and pieces of broadcasts here and there. As my father goes through all that happened on the election night, he goes through all of these bellwether signs. I'll just read some of this to you. These are just a few of the alarming, unprecedented events that took place on election night. I mean, who can forget, you know, the water main break or whatever it was they blamed it on in Fulton County? Had to shut down the count, kick out the poll watchers, and then run the ballots through the machines 3 and 4 times. Things that have been caught on video. And then call in the race in Arizona for Biden early in the evening when only 10% of the vote had been counted. They knew the fix was in. Yeah, even the election desk at Fox News, they knew the fix was in from the beginning. They could call it confidently, even though it's razor thin, right down to the wire. But they called it early. Yes, we know it's going to go for Biden tonight. And that changed the tone of the whole evening. And then all those massive leads that Trump had in Michigan, in Wisconsin, certainly in Pennsylvania, it just evaporated in the darkness of night. Everybody woke up the day after to find out that suddenly Joe Biden was ahead. My father says here, there's also the statistical data showing how unusual Biden's so-called victory really was, including his losing 18 of the 19 bellwether counties and underperforming in Democratic areas outside of the swing states. So outside of the swing states, the Democrats, they weren't excited about this election. They weren't excited about the basement candidate. They weren't excited about the career politician. But in those swing states, I mean, the turnout through the mail-in, was just off the charts. It says here, in addition, a great deal of suspicious and lawless behavior suggests Democrats are running perhaps the greatest cover-up in American history. Keep in mind, like Chapter 7 explains, keep in mind that the whole point of the January 6th protest was to throw support behind the hundred senators and congressmen that were actually going to go through the evidence of the stolen election. And they incited, I mean Obama, Biden and his people, and the deep state. They incited an insurrection. I mean, Donald Trump was still he was still the commander in chief. He was still occupying the White House on January 6, 2021. But it was so important to cover up the steal that the DOJ, the FBI, they incited this so-called riot so that they could cover up the election steal, so that they would not go through the evidence. It says here, Democrats threatened violence to prevent Republicans from investigating the election. In Michigan, Democrats threatened the children of county officials who said they would refuse to certify the election because there were so many irregularities. In Maricopa County, county officials refused to hand over hard drives with 2020 election information to auditors in defiance of a court order. In Georgia, video footage shows people depositing multiple ballots into drop boxes in violation of state laws. Filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza produced a documentary in 2022 titled 2,000 Mules, exposing the Democrats' strategy of stuffing drop boxes with mail-in ballots. All of this, my father writes, all of this was covered up by media outlets. They were complicit in the fraud. On Election Day, the New York Times tweeted, the role of declaring the winner of a presidential election in the U.S. falls to the news media. The New York Times, before they delete the tweet, the New York Times coming out and saying, hey, we're the ones who decide who's president. Oh, really? Is that in the Constitution? The New York Times decides who's president? Reveals a lot about their thinking. And then who can forget what happened on Saturday, November 7th, 2020, despite all the irregularities and the evidence of crimes, leftist news corporations, you know, the same leftists who looked at that speech last night and said, I think that's pretty patriotic. I hear that and think pro-America. I feel like he's unifying the nation. Leftist news corporations in coordination declared Joe Biden America's next president. Wow, that's some pretty recent history that you sometimes can forget about. You sometimes can forget about it, but thankfully for you, happy for you, we've got it all. We tell the whole story, and of course it gives you God's perspective. It ties in Bible prophecies. You know right where this is leading. You know Donald Trump is coming back. It's there discussed, all of it, in quite a lot of detail, in America Under Attack. Call our operators today or go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and order your free copy Listen to this from last night. This too is a skipping ahead to clip one.
And if we do our duty, if we do our duty in 2022 and beyond, then ages still to come will say, we, all of us here, we kept the faith. We preserved democracy. We heeded our worst. We heeded not our worst instincts, but our better angels.
One of our viewers just pointed out the language there. If we do our duty, we know something. We know a little bit of something about an Antiochus administration that had a duty to bury the truth, a duty to spread lies. And I mean, they were out there saying, hey, we're keeping the faith here. We've kept the faith, says the fake president last night. And then the reference to better angels. Sounds pretty good. But here again, it's not even like they're trying to come across like an angel of light so much. It's just in your face now. You accept it. You go with us because we're the majority. And if you don't come with us, if you don't join our side, well, we'll come after you. You're the extremist. As I say, we're familiar with some of that language because we were right up close to it, especially during the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages. Back in 1997, all the way through to 2003, my father wrote an article. This is, what was this? This was back in 1999, where he wrote about expanding the God family. And he explained in this article about how Satan just violently covered up the fundamental transformation in the worldwide Church of God. Satan loves to blot out the truth. He loves to blot out Israel. God wants us to blot out our sins with his help through the power of his Spirit and by that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Satan loves to blot out God's truth, God's people, God's, even the nations of Israel, even the name of Israel. Like it says in 2 Kings and verse 14. Notice this verse though, Malachi 2 and verse 16. It says, "For one covers violence with his garment, saith the Eternal of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously." Don't deal treacherously. Take heed. Hear this warning. Don't cover up violence with your garment. My father wrote in that article from 1999, he said, God is concerned about a cover-up in his church. And he says it is a violent cover-up. How have they covered violence? It says they must have been thinking about these changes around the time Mr. Armstrong died, or perhaps even before. That is treachery on the highest level. They had this in mind from the very beginning. I mean, Barack Obama had this mind when he was hanging out with Marxist professors back in Columbia or Occidental. When he was a young man, when he was a community organizer in Chicago back in the day. And he covered it all up. He covered up his true intentions. Even though he'd say a few of the silent parts out loud, fundamental transformation of the United States of America. But then the media, they would praise him for these things. They still do. They still do. The most angry, vicious, divisive speech in American history, in American political history, perhaps. And they love it. They still swoon. It shows you the power of the devil and how much success he's had in covering his tracks, in covering up the treachery, in covering up the violence, in covering up the criminal activity, just like the Hunter laptop. My father said here, that was a diabolical plot. And this violence was covered. They said nothing to their people about this. Again, this is talking about the abomination of desolation inside God's church. It says here, and they said nothing to their people about this. And if someone brought up some of these changes at that time, they said, changes? What change? We're not changing anything. We're champions of democracy. We love the founding documents. We have the Constitution. We're the party of law and order. We the people. That's what Biden's been talking about of late. It says, but God has it all recorded. They're liars and cheats, making major changes in God's church about the end time Elijah. And if you destroy the office of that man, you can destroy the work of the living God. So they did. They did. They went in and they disfellowshipped Herbert Armstrong post-mortem. We've written about that before as well. You've got to go after the leader of the movement the way they see it. Satan works the same way today, doesn't he? Listen to this from my father. Understand this crucial point. Satan's primary goal is to destroy the office of that man, speaking of the end time Elijah. If he can do that, he can wipe out the whole Elijah work. What a violent cover-up it was. What a violent cover-up it was, said my father back in an article from, 20-some years ago? 23 years ago? He works the same way today. He's infiltrated the highest offices in the land. And the land, the nation, is being fundamentally transformed right before our eyes. And it's violent, and it's treacherous, it's treasonous. There was this, I don't think I'll have a whole lot of time for it, but Julie Kelly had an article this week about the Obama-era sisters circle Trump. These are all sisters or ladies that worked for Obama, and now they're back in the Biden administration. They're back in the White House, and they're still circling Trump. They're still attacking Trump. Susan Rice, Deborah Haynes, and Lisa Monaco. And then this article talks about what the three are doing. It says here, Rice is self-aggrandizing, flex notwithstanding. No one tried to play the little women off each other. To the contrary, Haynes and Monaco, Obama's deputy national security advisor and homeland security advisor, respectively, and Rice played the American people by helping engineer one of the biggest frauds in the U.S. political history. The Trump-Russia election collusion hoax. Who can forget Susan Rice as she went around, well, at least with respect to Benghazi, she went on one Sunday show after another telling lies, brazen lies, blatant lies. They've got this skill down, for sure. Now they come out of the woodwork, and they're some of the architects of the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. And now they're circling around Trump and those evil MAGA Republicans to this day. Says the sisterhood, well, let me just skip ahead since we're about out of time. After going their separate ways for 4 years, the sisters are enjoying a family reunion of sorts. All three hold powerful positions in the Biden regime. Rice is Biden's domestic policy advisor. Haynes is Biden's director of national intelligence. And Monaco is Biden's deputy attorney general. And the Obama-reared triplets are inflicting woe on Trump, his associates, and his voters with the worst yet to come. That's Julie Kelly over at the American Greatness. They're basically running the show, these three. It says, just like the Russiagate scandal, the entire exercise is in service of destroying Donald Trump personally and politically. This time, the stakes are higher, and the sisters control every lever of power inside the regime. Will this sisterhood succeed, or will their exaggerated sense of self finally catch up with them? Who this time around gets played? There's another article here in the American Spectator talking about Anita Dunn, the self-described Maoist. She's just heaped praise on Mao in past speeches. And she's the one that came out not really that long ago. I think she called it the super MAGA extremist or whatever it was. And she got quite a lot of flack for that at the time. And even some in her party distanced themselves from that. But now look at where we are. All of them, they're all in total agreement. The other side, they're fascists. The other side needs to be destroyed. The other side is the enemy. There's another one here. Obama-era Tea Party targeter appointed to create IRS office overseeing the 87,000 agents. All roads, as we've said so many times, all roads lead to Barack Hussein Obama. That's all that we have time for on today's show. We certainly appreciate you joining us and look forward to talking to you again next week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury from Edstone, our beautiful Edstone campus, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll see you next time.